All right, it is still NBA playoff best ball season around here at the club. We did a high-level overview last week. Now we have the bracket solidified, and joining us to sort through all of the strategic angles for drafting in the dance, we have Spike Week's Eric Beimfor joining us. We'll talk about some initial thoughts with the play-in game, some angles we like, and then we will hop in the dance where we will compete for that $50,000 top prize. It's the club with Pete, Andy, Clay, and guest Eric. Let's roll. All right. I just got done talking with Eric over on the Spike Week channel. So if you guys do want to circle back and get some more NBA playoff best ball content, check that out after the show. But Eric, I know this is one of your favorite times of the year drafting in this contest. Excited to dive in a little more with you here.
Yeah, I mentioned it on the show right before this, so I won't belabor it too much. But to your folks, I really do think like NBA playoff best ball is almost like God's game of gambling right now. It is a lot of people. I mean, there's six people in a draft. Pete and I walked through two teams on the draft that we just did that were like stone dead immediately. There's a lot of people that don't necessarily know what they're doing. If you do know what you're doing, even if you're like an NBA grinder or not, I think you have a huge, huge edge. And so, especially right now, the NBA is in as good a shape as it's ever been in. I'm so excited for these playoffs. And I think we can get a pretty darn big edge in these contests, and there's a lot of money up top, which certainly doesn't hurt either.
Andy, how is the transition going for you? I mean, I assume you're still playing dailies tonight with play-in game stuff, but have you started to kind of reshift your focus to a playoff best ball?
Yeah, a little bit. I think probably after I finish up my daily drafts today, I'm like pretty far along. I'll start really firing off. I decided to just hold out and wait. I'm going to max the contest because, I mean, like, I max the Albatross. I'm going to max the NBA contest. But, yeah, now, like, I think it, especially this year, I feel like it was pretty helpful. I mean, granted, you could draft some crazy super teams early on, but, like, I don't know, being able to, like, not draft Giannis or different things like that feels like it's going to be pretty useful. So I don't feel like I'm super far behind. I'm happy to have missed out on, like, the crazy Celtics value or something.
It's so funny you mentioned that, and I was kind of talking about this with Eric, and everyone always worries about the super teams, but I'm working on a video right now for like NFL best ball and kind of like the things you should think about at the different stages of the year, kind of trying to put it out in general as like a reminder both for myself and other people. Like, and I'm going through the pros and cons of drafting early and late, and like the same things play out here where it's like, oh, everyone had the super teams, and it's like, but guess what, like the August drafters in NFL have such an information advantage over those early teams too, and it's like both of those are advantages in their own way, but like they can get offset by that other dynamic. So I don't know. I don't ever really let the super team thing discourage me that much.
No. And that's something that comes up in the daily NBA a lot as well. It's like, I feel like that conversation happens a couple times, like a year, if not like a month in the daily NBA, where it's like, oh, Joel Embiid was questionable all night and then is in, and people were getting him in the third round. And my feeling with that is always like, there's so much variance from game to game, night to night. Like, if you really think that your entire edge is lost just because there was like one piece of information that you no longer have or didn't have that other people did, then like you probably shouldn't play anyways, unless it's just purely for fun. So yeah, I'm with you there.
Clay, are you excited for the playoffs being set here? Did anything surprise you, at least since we last talked last Wednesday, Tuesday?
I'm very excited. Looking forward to tonight kicking off an incredible kind of 2 months here of the best basketball that you really can ask for as a fan and a viewer. And to Eric's point, it's like, yeah, NBA is in incredible shape. Surprising, not so much, I would say. Fascinated by like how the Lakers show up tonight. I think the conversation around like should they or shouldn't they like do a little bit of funny business is a lot of noise, but entertaining to say the least. If you're not familiar, so the whole theory is like, should they kind of choose to lose tonight, so to speak, so they will go and face the winner of the Kings Warriors matchup versus being shuffled right in to play the Nuggets in a series. So I don't know. I think you got to just kind of like, try to win every game at this point and let the chips fall where they make. There's no guarantee you're going to go beat the Kings or Warriors at all. I think the odds movement since we we're on the show last is like probably the thing I'm most interested in. But Andy, I'll let you tap in real quick on that. The seeding.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I'm totally with you. Like, I think that the Lakers should definitely try to win tonight. Like, I get the idea of like a playing the Thunder is more exciting, but like I heard, I think it was Ryan Russillo was saying as well, like for the Lakers with injury concern stuff too, like I think there's a case to be made that the best shot they're going to have at beating the Nuggets is going to be in the first series when LeBron and AD are healthy. And so I think they should.
Is AD healthy? Is AD healthy?
As healthy never as he's ever going to be.
It's all relative with him. I mean, they're going to have to go through the Nuggets regardless, right? So yeah, I'm with you. They might as well get it, you know, kind of out of the way up front. But I'm kind of just rooting for chaos, to be honest. Like, I really am hoping the Celtics, like, shit the bed first round. I just want the East to be, like, wide open. And then the West is just, I think, you know, I mean, the Nuggets are just the team that I'm kind of anchored onto is, like, having the best opportunity to make the finals again. I just think they're so good when Jokic wants to be, but I'm rooting for chaos. I really hope it's like a young team or one of these old ass teams that is like, you know, just, you know, trudging their way through the muck to get there. I just want chaos.
How about this? Cause this will obviously inform, you know, strategy talk for the dance, but let's go around and hear from you three, which of the play-in teams you think has the best chance to go far. And that could be however, but who you think can go the furthest? Eric, do you have your lean on the strongest of the play-in teams?
Yeah, it sucks because we just talked about for 45 minutes, my biggest stand in the dance right now is the Knicks. But unfortunately, the team that can make the biggest run is the 76ers if they can take down the Heat in the first round. And it's just a path thing. Obviously, the Sixers are not the seventh best team in the East. And then if they were to be the seven against the Knicks are good, but definitely not unbeatable. And then if you get past there, no Giannis Bucks or a Pacers team, it's just a path thing. I'm not that bullish on the Sixers, but at the end of the day, it's Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and the cleanest path. So it's got to be the Sixers for me.
Andy, anyone else for you or rubber stamp the Sixers?
Yeah, I think the Sixers would be my answer as well, or potentially even just like the winner of the Sixers Heat game.
Yeah.
But for sake of another fun conversation, I will say that I think the Lakers have been playing really, really well. And if they can, like we were saying, stay moderately healthy, I think that the thing that they have, that the Sixers kind of have as well, is just like there is a world where they play a series of seven games where they have two of the three best players on the court for the entire series. And there's that's typically in the NBA a way that you win a lot of playoff games. And so that's a team where I wouldn't bet on them to beat the Nuggets, assuming they win this first game. But if they're able to pull it out somehow, I think that they're going to be a very scary team after that. And so I think that would be the other one that I kind of keep my eye out on.
Clay, any other dark horses?
I mean, I retweet the 76ers take full-heartedly, but I'm intrigued by the Warriors. Like, I'm not willing to put, you know, real dollars behind it at all. But one last dance here for the crew. You know, bring it back. It's enticing. I mean, you got Steph Curry, who can, you know, be up there and scoring with anyone on a good night. You have a chance. So I think it'd be interesting to see if this is a moment where they come together, can make a little noise, or if it's just, you know, sayonara, you know, closing curtain music and goodbye Klay Thompson. So yeah, we'll see.
Eight seed in the West though, right? I think eight seed in the West is just has potential, generally speaking, whether it's Lakers, Pelicans, or I don't think any of us are thinking it's the Kings, but Warriors, those other three teams, like the Thunder are awesome, but it's still a bunch of 22-year-olds against. Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, they are really, really good. But at the end of the day, those guys against LeBron and AD or Steph Curry, even like the way the Pelicans are playing, a little bit worse down the stretch. But once Zion got, I mean, Zion looks like Zion, like real Zion right now. So I wouldn't want to play them either. I think whoever is the eight against the Thunder, they could make a run too.
The thing I was talking about with Eric too on the show previously that makes it hard is it'd be one thing if all the prices for, you know, these other 4, 5 seeds, 6 seeds were really priced up. And it's like, man, I'm getting such good prices on the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Sixers, Heat, like, let's take on this risk. But then you go and you look at the ranks here and it's like, well, you could have any of the Timberwolves. You could line up your Sun stuff pretty cheaply. It's like, do you have to take on the risk of the play-in game stuff where you're essentially having to hit a 2-leg parlay or whatever, as opposed to just being like, I know these guys are going to be playing round one. Andy, have you given that thought at all as far as like how you might attack play-in teams as part of your portfolio?
Yeah, a little bit, especially considering that I am not very deep in these drafts yet. I've done a couple. Like, you've probably done more than I have, Pete. and so one thing that I like to do, and that I like doing this in the playoffs in general, because the playoff contests for underdog are typically two games, at least as you get more condensed with just the amount of teams that are left. It'll be like two nights in a row. I really like drafting while the games are happening, because I think that you can like get a little bit more of an edge where ADP is not going to catch up and move that fast. So I'll probably be drafting a lot tonight. Like once it's kind of seems clear who's winning or who is in control of the Lakers game and things
once
like
AD
that.
Once AD pulls up Campy.
Yeah, like I think that there actually is like pretty serious value there, both in like people overreacting or people not reacting enough. I think it just like creates some interesting chaos in rooms when there's like active information that you have to be taking in while you're drafting.
Well, question, Andy, on that. So the winner will face the Nuggets. Are you going to move up the team that's losing in the Pelicans Lakers game, or are you going to just side with the, I know that the Lakers are in or the Pelicans are in?
I think I probably more than anything, I mean, I guess it really depends. Like there is just a case to be made that getting however many games of LeBron and AD is really valuable to advance. And just, you know, if they somehow do pull it out, that's a really awesome combo to have. I probably would somewhat fade whatever the team is playing the Nuggets, unless it was good value, depending on, you know, whatever room you were in. But I don't think it would be like, oh, the Lakers won this game, time to like, you know, have 40% exposure to LeBron and AD.
Yep. Eric, maybe for people who aren't familiar, do you want to kind of give just maybe some high level thoughts on how you are approaching these contests, maybe from a portfolio standpoint too, because I know you're drafting a lot of teams. A lot of people will start ripping off drafts over these next few days, like some things that people should be aware of before they dive in.
Yeah, my biggest thing, and this is just like, I think best ball, not even just best ball, any kind of market based games, is figuring out where I think the market is most confident. And generally that means overconfident a lot of the times. And with playoff best ball, especially this year in the NBA, basically, you kind of see a huge divide outside of Luka and SGA. All the top picks are on two teams, the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. So the market has said, rightfully so, they're the best two teams. They're clearly the favorites to make the finals and play in the finals. But the market has said, no, that's our finals, right? We like Luka and Shea enough because they're good enough for fantasy that we'll still take them in the first round over Jalen and stuff. But then beyond them, it's a free-for-all. You mentioned you want Minnesota on a team, you got them. You want Phoenix, you got them. You want the Knicks, you want the Cavs, you want, you know, God forbid, the Magic or something. You want those guys, you can have those guys on any team that you want. And so my general approach is to lean into the confidence levels that everybody else has in that and start. I'm not fading Boston and Denver, but I'm being intentional about how I pair them with other, those other kind of undervalued teams. I don't have much Denver and Boston together, not because I don't think it's most likely, but because I think that's what everyone thinks is most likely. And so I want to win when that doesn't happen, when, you know, Denver gets upset or, you know, the Lakers beat Denver, right? I want to have Boston with LeBron and AD or, you know, or with Zion and BI or something like that. And so I'm going through kind of mixing and matching my combinations. And then I do have a couple of just I mentioned the Knicks a few different times. I just don't think there's a lot of times where we get the two seed in the East with a no Giannis on that side of the bracket, and the Pacers is the other team, and nobody wants, and they all play 48 minutes. The whole team plays 48 minutes in every single game. We know we're going to get fantasy scores, and nobody wants these guys. So it's just kind of a, that one's a specific unique case, but the rest is just kind of some matchup based stuff.
And this is also a good point that's different from NFL stuff, right? Where you know that each team is going to play the four quarters of that game, at least in round one. Like, you are not guaranteed a certain amount of games in these series. It could be four, it could be seven. And guess what? Seven games is better than four. That's more chances to rack up points. And so when you have a really dominant team, that complicates the thesis even more. It's like the equivalent of the bye week element from football, where it's like, yeah, this is the team that has the best odds to get to the finals, but it's going to be hard if they're sweeping. I guess the nice thing is the advancement structure, right? It's two out of six out of round one. So if they sweep in round one, you can maybe still squeak these guys through. But if you have a sweep in round two, when it's one out of 10 and you're four or five deep on Boston and they do that, like, that team's probably dead right there in your one of 10 pot on a sweep.
Yeah. I think it brings up an interesting question. And I know we kind of did this 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, where we had our first draft, where we had like a team that just had Tatum and then like a bunch of West guys.
Yeah.
And like, I think that in and of itself probably is not the best strategy, but I do wonder with these two teams where each of them have such high like odds of making the finals compared to everyone else, but like, it's so hard to get a lot of the good players, if we'll end up seeing some teams that get through to the finals where, you know, like maybe the winning team doesn't even start five players in the finals. If you end up with a Celtics Nuggets, which sounds crazy. And like, so we even had that, we had a team starting five with even last year where like, who the hell is drafting the Heat, but you could draft the whole team and they played seven games. But like you were saying, if they just both kind of crush everyone the first couple rounds, it's going to be really, really hard to get through a five-man team, let alone the fact that if you have five-man teams of Nuggets, Celtics, like, you'll probably have like KCP and Drew Holiday or something. You're not
Al Horford is definitely on that team.
Yeah.
Sam Hauser's put a point for you.
I wonder if there's some strategy, and I haven't thought about it too much, of like drafting three people from those games and then a five-man combinations of finals, and saying like, hey, there's a chance it's a Celtics Nuggets finals and I could take fifth place with a three-man roster of really good Celtics and Nuggets.
I was thinking about, I wanted to get your guys' take on this. Everybody expects Boston to kind of run through the East, right? And like, when, especially when you think about the second round, like, what I think you could sneak Celtics through the first round, it's only two out of six. But that second round, one out of 10, you need games played. And the Celtics don't score enough fantasy points, right? This isn't Jokic and Luka. They're great. But like, Jaylen Brown's going to get like 35 to 38 on average most of these
and nothing
games.
More.
That's, yeah, yeah. Like, you just lock in 37.5 for Jaylen Brown in every single game. But so like, what scenario plays out in which I get the Celtics? They win, but I get them through that next round. We wouldn't normally do this, but it's like, give me some Cavs on that team. Like, the Cavs win two games. Donovan Mitchell goes crazy, you know, for the whole series. Scoring, you know, he goes Jimmy Butler, scorched earth playoffs. And like, I'm eliminating Donovan Mitchell, but he's like a seventh round pick. You know, and I'm just making that up, you know, but Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, one of these guys go total scorched earth. They steal two, God forbid, three games from the Celtics. Now you've like made that one bet. That's how you got your Celtics, right? That's how you got your Celtics through to the next round. It's like a galaxy brain idea, but like, I can't see a way in which I get my Celtics through one out of 10 if it just goes according, you know, to status quo in the second round.
The disaster scenario for Celtics faders is like a seven game first round series. Like, that's how everything really gets fucked. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I think the Lakers seeding is so fascinating because like, they have the best chance in my opinion to like take on the Nuggets or at least push them to a longer series. So this being a potential first round matchup is like pretty compelling, because beyond them, I'm not sure how you would stack up maybe any other team besides the Timberwolves as being somewhat of a relatively strong matchup against Jokic and the Nuggets. So that's fascinating to me too.
I'll pull it before we hop in a draft here, Eric. I just want to ask, like, you know, we were talking about the ADPs. I just reflexively click NFL, Jesus. you know, we've talked about some of the weird ADPs as far as like team wise, like not necessarily making sense. Are there any individual player ADPs that don't seem to make sense to you, almost removed from like the team scenario?
Yeah, not to keep, they're going to lose now. The Sixers are going to win and the Knicks are going to get like swept in the first round by Embiid. Every non-Jalen Brunson Knick price doesn't make any sense to me. Barely in the top 50. The second most expensive. They are the two seed in the East. They play every minute of the entire. Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, and OG Anunoby are going to play like every single minute. And that's not an exaggeration. Dante DiVincenzo played every minute of an overtime game that was meaningless, basically, on the last game of the regular season. This is just what Tibbs does. So you talked about the Jaylen Brown thing. Like, you're getting 40 from those guys on most nights, Josh Hart and DiVincenzo. OG's a little, he's got to make some shots eventually. But like, they score fantasy points. They play the whole game. They're on the two seed. And absolutely no one wants them. So it's kind of all those, obviously not Randall since he's out, and I don't want the bench guys really for the Knicks, but all five of their starters to me are just, I can't really make heads or tails of their price. And then I'll just throw out one. The new one is the Pacers, Haliburton and Siakam. Every Giannis report that comes out is getting worse and worse. Like, I don't expect him to play, period. Not game one, like the whole series. And so the biggest bet I've made of the playoffs so far is the Pacers to win this series. They're favored on the road in game one against the Bucks, and then would only play the Knicks or the Sixers or something in the second round. I think Haliburton, Siakam, and to a lesser extent, Miles Turner are the next guys that jump out to me.
Are you on those Knicks teams? Are you taking Mitchell Robinson or Hartenstein or neither?
Hartenstein. I've got a good clip of Hartenstein, actually.
Yep.
Mitch when Robinson was hurt. I was taking him, oddly enough, but because he was the starter before, right? And then I think he's got Wally pipped. I think Hartenstein is the guy there. I mean, not for 40 minutes. He'll probably play like 30 in the playoffs, but I think he plays more than Mitch does.
Yeah. And yeah, just you can see the gap there too, where it's like, I mean, just such a huge fall off of, if you take Brunson, and Eric and I were talking about this dynamic too, where normally people aren't going to want to take Hart or any of these guys without Brunson. So it's like, you take Brunson and then you could just basically put in your back pocket this Knicks stack, however you want to then fit the pieces together. So yeah, I need to start building out some more Knicks stuff. And you can tell too, how like, if you are really anchored to ADP or you're not thinking as creatively or reverse engineering the draft, how you're just not naturally going to get there. Let's hop in a draft here and we can talk through some of these other ideas as we do a draft.
Eric, how do you feel about, like, you know, independent of the team association with Pete's question, like Jaylen Brown's price tag? Because it just feels disgusting to me, aside from the fact that he's pushed up for being the Celtics, like, and Porzingis too, to a certain extent, but it's just like, I just, you know, in a vacuum, that feels gross.
It's absolutely gross. So I come from the DFS world, like, first and foremost. So a lot of the times I'll think about these guys in like a DFS, like a DraftKings price perspective. And it's more about their fantasy points, but the price is kind of indicative of what you do in fantasy. And like, Pete can probably, you know, from an NFL, like, I think about Brock Purdy in last year's play or the most recent year's playoff best ball in NFL, where like Purdy's going in the first round. And I'm like, the guy never got above $6,000 on DraftKings. And we're drafting him in the first round of these contests. That's kind of Jaylen Brown. Like, the dude is like a 7K DraftKings player, you know, give or take. And we're taking him amongst guys like Luka was like 13, 14. Like, he was legitimately, and him and Jokic are $13,000 players. He's half of that. And
yeah,
so,
there's like a world where Luka like quadruples Jaylen Brown's first round output.
He probably scored. Yeah,
I'd probably bet on that, to be honest.
If the Celtics sweep and the Mavs go to six or seven, Luka is gonna he's gonna score like double in most games what Jaylen Brown does. Like literally,
he can do it an even seven. Amount of games.
Yeah,
like straight up. Like they each played six games. Yeah, Luka can straight up triple him up.
So I can't. I think that's a big mental block for me with the Celtics. Is like I can't wrap my head around taking Jaylen, having being forced to take Jaylen Brown in order to make the stack work without Tatum.
So, yeah. Well, we're gonna most likely end up in that spot here because we got the 1-5 in this first draft. So, Eric, how have you been playing it from the five? Assuming we're looking at Brown and Embiid, Porzingis.
I've been getting funky. I've been taking some Ant. I've been taking some Ant at five, and just like totally ignoring ADP and looking to some kind of other team. Shea would have been the ideal.
I think Embiid.
I like Embiid. Even though you know I'm a Knicks stan, I can pray that they lose. And there's the dream scenario: you take Embiid over the Celtics guys at the end of the first. They play in the first round, and Embiid takes them down in the first round. Then you really crush.
Now we're cooking.
You have any thoughts here, Andy?
No, I support it. I think it like it feels good for the guy at the 6-7 turn to get both Celtics guys. Mm-hmm. But
chalk.
I just, oh, okay, interesting. Oh,
okay, it's, or not.
A bit gross. Murray?
Yeah, how do we want to build this out on the West now?
Then you're hoping Embiid just can beat Jokic in some games in the finals if they meet?
Or do you like click that? Kawhi here, Eric?
I don't mind that. I don't mind Jamal with Embiid.
Yeah.
Pete and I were talking, I don't like to go Nuggets without Jokic.
Yeah,
because you know it's the Jaylen Brown. You know, like Jokic is going to score 75 in every game, and Jokic teams will be in the final if they make it. We assume, but I think the Embiid. Your point on Embiid was really, really good. Is like, if Embiid makes the final, him and Jokic kind of offset each other. Now give me Murray, right, and then we'll backfill with Maxi and you know whoever else. So yeah. It can make sense. But I think Embiid's like the only guy I would do that with.
Agreed. And the vulnerability is just you're hoping that somebody doesn't have like Jokic, Murray, and Embiid
because from was him being before,
like
late yeah.
for yeah yeah but I mean I think I don't know I still like the theory of like 1v1 Embiid versus Jokic, like there's a chance. It's not like, you know, Embiid and I don't know, or less high outcome guy.
The problem is Embiid is always ducking Jokic. Is he even going to play if they make the finals? They're going to get Paul Reed.
Not in Denver.
He's only going to play the Philly games.
Yeah. Like the Philly Stets.
Congratulations, Eric. The Jaylen Brunson Knicks team is already God, here going God at 13. we got Captain Osimo in the four hole and didn't even plan. Yeah, you know, we're all figuring it out on our feet here. So we are on the clock here. Do we go Aaron Gordon with or Michael Porter Jr. with
I
our
think
Denver
bet? Has to go Gordon.
You have to take Gordon, I think.
Yeah.
I think you could make the case to even take Porter Jr. coming back and then hope that Maxi slides, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. You guys have done more drafts there than I have. I'll default to you guys.
What do you think, Eric?
I think I would push it with Maxi. I think I would take MPJ and push it with Maxi.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the only Sixers drafter so far. And so you just kind of hope, but there's four people who have drafted a Celtic already in this draft. And so you just kind of pray like they don't want Sixers mm-hmm. players.
Yep.
There's the other thing I just brought up.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, there's a bunch of Celtics. There's a Brunson team, a one-off Maxi. Now people go rogue all the time, but a one-off Maxi doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense for these other guys. So I think I would have tried to push it. And I do think MPJ is a pretty big tier gap to KCP. KCP would be the fallback option, sure. But I think you want MP, like even if they could score the same, like in any given series, but MPJ has the like, oh, he scored 35 real life points mm-hmm. in a game type upside and KCP just doesn't.
Now that I'm getting more locked in on strategy with these, like there's a good point made in the last club, which is like you could pretty much take MPJ or Aaron Gordon
Lou Williams
at that first pick.
All right, so this
draft's getting tossed. That sucks. You know, so then you gotta consider like, well, what if we had like, you know, Embiid, Murray, MPJ, and then Maxi? Because if you're going 1v1 Maxi versus like Aaron Gordon, like considering the whole like, you know, daily mindset or DFS mindset, like his ceiling is much higher. So that's something I'm starting to get more in tune to, because like before I was defaulting to like, yeah, lock up the Nuggets guys. Like that's what I pushed for last club as well. But it's got me reconsidering like, well, the 1v1 swap of like a, you know, and MPJ too, but you know, hopefully we get a little stream luckier, but that Luke will pick. I think
with the Embiid thing.
Quickly, he's not even in the fucking playoffs.
What are we doing here?
Sandbagging.
Yeah.
Brutal. It's
painful.
Push the plane, Pete. Let's get another one.
This is a fun
team. It's even great. God, we got Maxi.
Is this, I haven't done enough of that. Is this getting tossed?
I'm afraid so. Quickly's not even in the playoffs, so that feels
I have no idea.
And Lou Williams is not in the NBA.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's at Magic City with Metro Boomin.
Let's line up the queue. Let's line up the queue and then push the plane and hop in another one here. Who do we?
Who do we shame?
Halliburton.
Osama.
Halliburton.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I like Halliburton. Yeah, dude.
Okay. And then we'll put Siakam in here. Is there anyone else on Philly that we should get? Is Tobias or Oubre in the picture?
We don't need them. We got three Denver guys. You can just to add on to the stack, but
should we just get another?
He's 20-point Jaylen Brown.
That's oatmeal. Yeah. Tobias is like oatmeal. Like you can have it for breakfast, but nobody wants
this guy doing.
this is awful. Yeah.
You would get in a perfect world, right? We would maybe get another two from the Eastern Conference and play like three different Denver finals matchups.
Mm-hmm. Magic, Cavs, Heat.
Siakam goes. Whatever. It's getting tossed.
I would have been interested too in like a one off. I don't know. This is in the spirit of like, Eric's galaxy brain.
Jimmy Bam. Ion.
Basically say Sixers win game one, Heat win, play in game two.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't play each other until the conference championships if they played each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know what? I think Scosama threw this draft because he thought it was getting thrown because Rob took Derek White and Al Horford as his two Celtics in the first four rounds. And so he just assumed it was already over.
He didn't get his Celtics. I see that now. He didn't get his Celtics stack because Rob took it from him. And so he was taking retired players.
Yeah. It's annoying. And it's just like, I have a hard time just like randomly pushing the play because you're like, well, what, just in case, like might as well. So who else should we, we'll go Butler and Bam here. Who should I put in the queue for the last two?
I don't even know what player that is. T. Frazier.
God. Tim Frazier.
Tim Frazier.
You might as well just scroll to the bottom of the draft and just like
throwing this Jabari
Parker.
This is fucked.
He's picking like 2004 McDonald's All-American.
What is going on right now?
You just find the craziest player name you can in the pool for pick 9 and 10.
Well, wow. On the off chance that this doesn't get thrown, I want the easiest advanced group ever.
This team is amazing.
I'm sure the public draft on the influencers YouTube channel where the guy's taking retired players, that's the one they won't toss, right?
Yeah.
20 minute
He has an underdog fantasy light in the background and he's hoping it won't get tossed.
I don't know. They got a lot on their plate these days.
Streamer EP, right. Baby.
Whatever. I'm pushing the plane on this.
Yeah. If we take Tobias, we might as well hope this draft gets tossed. So
whatever. I'm done. All right.
That's my stance on drafting Tobias. Again.
At least Oubre, like. Oubre makes it move when you draft Kelly Oubre. It's like, it's going to go real bad, or you can get one of those Kelly Oubre game. Tobias is just like, God, I guess. Like, I got to have another Sixer.
Yeah.
Tobias is like when you cook food and just don't season it. Yeah, it's bland.
It's just white people.
Okay. Yeah. We've been gifted the 1-2 here. Now we can work.
Let's go no Boston.
I was going to say, are we taking Tatum or are we taking Luka?
Luka. Let's do
another. I'm down for whatever.
Yeah. Andy's just
What do you guys think about the Mavs? Pete and I drafted
Spicy. Luka,
and I put out my playoff bracket and I actually have the Mavs taking down the Nuggets in the conference finals to make it.
So nice.
I'm pretty in on this new version of the Mavs.
Me too. They're my second favorite team in the West.
They're good.
Yeah, I think that they're really good. I mean, I'm a Luka. I love Luka, and so I'm a sucker for when he's playing well. But I think that the moves that they made at the trade deadline, bringing in Gafford and Washington, just complements their team structure so well. They're just a totally different team offensively than they were previously.
And defensively.
Yeah.
They can do different things on defense.
Even Luka's playing defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Luka's going like when Harden was at his peak. It was like he really can't play defense, but when they're cooking on offense, he cared. And that's how Luka is right now. It's like, oh, I'm getting everything I want on offense. So I'll try a little bit over here on this other end.
Luka too just feels like if I was going to pick one player that could just go God mode in the playoffs, like across the whole entire league, like, I mean, Luka's just been his bag the whole season. Like it feels like we're crescendoing in a really positive trajectory. And like, I never thought him and Kyrie were going to play this compatibly together. Their games are so great, but just like the way they are just like, and it's like they have blindfolds on or just like can see the whole court in like 3D, you know, ultra vision mapping. It's special. So I'm into the Mavs for sure, but that's becoming trendy.
Yeah, because the Clippers have collapsed and we haven't seen Kawhi in 3 weeks.
Well, they don't have Marcus Morris anymore to bust up Luka's knees like in the bubble, so it's
hopefully they get how crazy skate. Is it going SGA over Tatum, do you think? Not really.
I don't hate it.
SGA projects better and is almost assuredly going to play more games. It's just he doesn't have the finals odds that everybody else does. SGA is he is gonna, people that haven't watched the Thunder are gonna have some fun watching SGA in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the Thunder, they definitely have matchups that are not good for them just because they can't play that big and all of that, but
the Lakers are a problem.
Yeah, the Lakers, like if they have to play the Lakers in the first round, like they might get swept if they play the
they need the Lakers to win.
Yeah.
So how do we play this? It's all Denver Boston. Is this where we get our Brunson?
This is where I would pick Brunson. Yeah.
I'm into it.
I'm into it.
And it's former teammate correlation, Brunson and Luka.
Oh.
I mean, this is also just one of those situations where you get the chance to like almost fully stack two of the hottest teams in the NBA.
And then just Kyrie here.
Kyrie.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only thing with this is Josh Hart is a guard, right?
Yeah. If Josh Hart was a wing, I think I would draft 100% Knicks, but he's a guard. But he's a guard. So it's a lot of OG. There's a lot of OG on my teams, which is less fun than Josh Hart.
Yeah. Like, I think we probably are in a position now where we don't want to take another guard at all.
Yeah. No. This is like going hyper fragile running back. It's time to take the feet off the gas.
Yep. Yeah, we went CMC Pollard Jacobs on this team.
Kyrie as Josh Jacobs seems very, very right for some reason.
Oh, that feels a little demeaning to Kyrie, but you know.
I love Captain Awesomeo's just Thunder Hammer team that he's drafting. Got to get your guys. I have no idea what their ADPs are, so I don't even know how outside of.
They're pretty. It's close. I think he's pretty lofty on Jalen specifically.
Yeah.
Looks like he's planning a commercial shoot out here.
Yeah. So we got Dallas, New York going. We know there's nothing we have to attend to with Dallas and New York for a long time. Do we go over to – and we can't do Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell. So
AD or – LeBron.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, what about AD and LeBron?
AD, yeah. LeBron or
– I like it.
Yeah, I don't want to do Cat. I don't think – it's got to be AD LeBron, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't do Paul George because that's just like that's cucking to a degree that I can't support here in drafting.
You can sacrifice the second round, I think, matchup, but I would not want to sacrifice the first round. It's 2 out of 6 advance from the first round. You can't play.
I was gonna pose you like in the last draft, like hypothetically, if like you would consider taking like a Zion to go kind of potentially against the Nuggets to push them in the whole theory of, we were talking about the Celtics needing to get pushed, they don't sweep a team, like that could be interesting to me, but like that's so much later in the draft. It's not, you know, it's not PG. And
I will say, I do think there was a pretty good case to be made to take Giannis. I think there's still a good case to be made to take Giannis here.
What do you guys? Yeah, raise it, bring it up. I mean, at 23,
he's not going to play. I'm being a little stubborn. LeBron,
it's got to be LeBron. If he falls more, maybe.
If he falls back, let's take him. He might.
LeBron's a great wing anchor at the in the fifth round.
Yeah, like, Giannis is going to be useless for round one, even if they win, I think. Useless is a loose term, but like he's probably not going to count in your score in round one, even if they win. So you're betting on them you're betting on them winning a series without him playing multiple games. Like that's tough.
When they've already been playing like shit, even with
I don't know that they would win it even if he was healthy.
Yeah.
Even Giannis is worth three OGs.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. Can't deny that.
Yeah, as far as having Dame on the way back, the issue there is I just don't think you want four guards for this. Like I was looking at that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could take Giannis, Dame. I don't even know if that's like
a bolt on guard later to make sure our final stuff works is fine.
But and then Omar passes on Dame there. So would this be a time to do another?
You can use the Pels thing on this team if you really wanted to and bring back the Knicks at the end to be – this would be a Knicks makes the finals team.
You just hope they both make it. Like out of the you would need the
– they both Pelicans have to make it out of the play-in. But
Pelicans
gonna,
to win, said right?
They're going
to
be on the opposite sides of the bracket.
Opposite ends. Where, I mean, they could play.
So play That's Knicks fun. By three and then live for – two finals, the winner of Los Angeles, Pels, or Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Could the Lakers and Pelicans hypothetically meet again in the playoffs?
They could play in the
finals.
That would be the only
play the play-in tournament.
Play in the play-in and play in the conference
that's
finals.
Sick.
That's hilarious.
That's the chaos I'm rooting for. Like that would be amazing. It's wild when you look at the line movement. So like last week when we were on the club, the Bucks were at plus 800 for their championship odds, and now they're down to 1500. And then the Knicks took a hell of a jump from they were plus 6000 last week, and they're up to 3300.
Is it Brandon Ingram?
Ingram,
yeah.
Or can you grab Hart first, or no? Because we're not going to be doing another guard. Yeah.
Yeah, and also like, yeah.
I think we probably want Hartenstein on this team too. I guess
I was thinking Hartenstein and Gafford.
Gafford, yeah. Because wing were pretty good. Well, I guess
one more.
Well, I wouldn't hate putting PJ Washington on the team. That could work.
We need a wing from Dallas or New York, right? Because if we want that to be a potential finals matchup, we need a wing from one of those teams.
Or is Washington a big in this?
And a
he's a wing, right? No, PJ's a wing.
Washington's a wing. Wait, so we want
OG?
OG, I almost think we
OG
want to go.
Gafford, OG,
and I think it's OG Gafford Hartenstein.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because we need to make sure our wings and bigs are covered, and right now it's only covered by Lakers and Lakers. And
a little fragile. To go really well or real poor.
Well, when they beat the conference championship guys, they look like
We're fucking raking, dude.
All right.
So no love for the Bulls or Hawks.
No.
Well, I think it's just on this team we've already kind of.
No, I was just fucking around.
We reduced. Okay.
In general, I mean, whoever's coming out of that and playing the Celtics, God bless them. If one of those two teams are winning,
wow, I love it.
That's not great.
Before I make this pick, breaking news from the underdog team, your recent dance draft. We had to cancel your recent dance draft.
It's Hartenstein and PJ Washington.
PJ Washington.
PJ, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the two.
So Hochberg, he had taken Hart, so he had gotten two.
PJ for sure.
It's in the minutia here, but we should have taken PJ Washington first. And then taking one of Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson, whoever comes back.
Yeah. Is there any, is Tim Hardaway or anybody like that on Dallas a wing? I honestly don't know because I don't make it past PJ, but
Hardaway.
Yeah. So
it's fine.
Back up Tim Hardaway.
Live a little with Derek Lively.
he returned to practice today.
I don't know. Derek Jones Jr., man. The stealing.
Is he going to be in the rotation?
No, I don't know. Probably not. But he's good. He's good for like two steals a game. Nothing else.
Him and Exum. I like both of them.
So, what do you think of this team overall. This is a pretty unique team, I'm guessing, even for your builds, Eric, as somebody who's been doing Knicks, Dallas, and Pels.
Well, I don't do a lot of Lakers, and that may change. Kind of like what Andy was talking about. I'm going to watch the game, of course, and particularly I'm going to draft the Lakers if they're losing. because I do fear Jokic and the Nuggets for anybody. And so I don't do a lot of Lakers, but I actually think this plays into like what you and I talked about on the show before this one with like playing into the uncertainty of the West. I agree Denver's the best team, but I think Dallas is the second best team. And would I be surprised if we didn't even like talk about Golden State? Or there's 9 teams I think that could make a run in the West. And so I'm just mixing and matching amongst all those Western Conference teams. And then I am focusing in a little bit more like Pacers are a priority for me. Knicks, Boston, outside of that, there's not much in the East. So the West, I think you should do stuff like this.
Yep. Yeah. It's Mookie circling back. The Bucks are still a slight favorite in that series. And I think we'll see Giannis back at some point in the series. Yeah, I mean, he brings up the 2 of 6. That is the one thing where it's like, you can probably live without Giannis for the 2 of 6. It's like, but you can't live without him for the 1 of 10, the next round, right?
Yeah. And they're going to lose. So you're not going to get him for the 1 out of 10. Anyway.
This team has great viewership sweat equity. Cause like, mm-hmm. you know, however the game goes tonight, we win.
It's true.
That's great. True. We're tonight's
tell the story. your team has to tell a story and we get to tell a story no matter what happens.
And one of these teams is going to beat the Nuggets and then we're really, really cooking. Oh yeah. So
here's the final team. We got our 3 guards at the top, Luka, Brunson, and Kyrie. Our wings, LeBron, Zion, Brandon Ingram, and then PJ Washington. So we have one Dallas guy live for the finals. And then our bigs, Anthony Davis, and 2 guys who I learned of today, Daniel Gafford and Isaiah Hartenstein there. So always nice to learn some new players here. But yeah, I think we've had some weird rooms. I think if you take some of these ideas and hop in a decent amount of drafts, you'll get some cleaner versions of these teams.
Should unfortunately Steph Curry be getting drafted?
What's that?
Should Steph Curry be getting drafted more?
What do you think, Eric?
I have him. I totally hedged that. Like in our rankings, it's maybe like I think that there's probably certain specific teams where you're going to run into like, oh, maybe I should take, you know, Steph Draymond back here or Steph Wiggins or whatever. I think it's pretty rare. I think yeah. It's pretty damn rare that happens. So like you might have a hand if you draft 150 teams, maybe a handful of Steph, but that's about it.
Andy, did you have a big bink last night?
Not last night, but a couple nights ago. Yeah.
A couple. He's already moved on, John. He, you know, it's just water. Yeah.
No, my biggest accomplishment over the last week is that I had a really high advance rate in the Albatross. That's my, I'm now a golf best ball sharp. So that's my newest thing. Yeah. Last season, I think I legitimately advanced 10 out of 150 lineups.
Wow.
In the first round. And so this time I had like 90, which felt good.
How much of it, did Scottie Scheffler drag like every team through?
I don't think so. He definitely like was super helpful, but there were a couple guys who were going pretty late who ended up putting up some serious points.
Nice.
And so you didn't have to have Scotty, especially it was it's 2 out of 6. So it's pretty nice first round anyways. The future stuff is where it's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a nice NBA win. It was nice to get one more before the end of the season. But I'm super excited for the playoffs. That was where I had my most success last year because I think it helps for me because I do my own projections and everything. And as you get into the playoffs, it's a little bit more projectable, a little bit less crazy. And it also is really, like I was saying earlier, especially as you get later into the playoffs, a lot of the drafts are for 2 nights of games and a lot of people just copy ETR's rankings or something. And you can't do that when it's 2 nights of games. And so, like actually drafting with projections and rankings versus the rest of the field who doesn't have them available where they had them all season is actually super helpful. So that's my shield to anyone who
yeah.
like the NBA stuff is if you're doing your own projections and stuff, It is, I think, a pretty big edge.
It's like in the, you know, that Thanksgiving slate too, I remember too, where they don't put in the ADPs. And it's like, if you just set your rankings, even loosely based on projections, you're already at a pretty big advantage there. Eric, if people want more NBA playoff best ball content, what do you guys got going over on Spike Week?
Yeah, all of our stuff comes in what we call almanacs. So we have a hub on the website that has NFL up, MLB, which is useless now, but NBA playoff. And the NBA playoff stuff we made 100% free. So my rankings, anybody can go get them up there in the Almanac Hub. And like I said, my playoff brackets and some strategy pieces and different things I put out there, some draft streams, all available. Just go to spikeweek.com. You'll see it in the header, Best Ball Almanac Hub. And quite a bit of stuff with a bunch more streams. I did one yesterday. Pete and I did one before this. Mike Zakarian is coming on with me later this week. We got a bunch more fun stuff coming around NBA playoffs. I know it is a little more niche than, say, the NFL world, but it's one of my favorite games, so we're diving into it pretty hard.
Do you guys think overlay in the dance? I'm checking now, 55%, and it locks Saturday at noon. I assume people pile in between now and
nothing
then.
Meaningful. Nothing.
Yeah,
meaningful.
I don't think it'll be enough for it totally moves the needle.
Yep.
None of the daily bros have been piling in too much yet. So
Saturday, if you want to snap fill drafts, wait for Saturday morning, because it's going to be the like I remember when I was trying to pile in the last couple of years. They if you don't want to wait, you don't have to wait really right now either. But man, Saturday is just everybody piling in at the end. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to try to multi-table like 10 at a time. So we'll see how it goes. I made my own. I made my own new multi-tabling tool. Maybe I'll share it with everyone one day. Whoa. But it lets me get my full team view from the active drafts tab. So you can jump between active drafts and see your whole team and like the draft history without having to actually go into the draft.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So it makes it like actually way easier to multi-table because you don't have to have.
I'm going
like
to steal
10
it.
Different
I'm
going
to steal that, Andy.
I'll share it.
Is it is this a chat GPT assisted tool here?
This one I actually wrote all by myself. I grabbed it from someone else who had done something similar. And I just made it a little bit nicer. And
there you go.
But
nice. I'll keep an eye out for that. And I know the Badge Bros had talked a little the dance today too. So plenty of streams and content if you guys are wanting to dive into the NBA playoff best ball streets. And I will warn you, it is addicting. This happened to me last year where it's like, once you get the hang of it, you know, with three or four drafts, and then you're like, oh boy, here we go. I cannot stop ripping these drafts. So I will be in those streets. You will see me throughout the week. Thank you again to Eric for joining us, and you can go catch up on that stream we did right before as well. Clay, anything else from you here today?
No, I just say for those interested, a few more days to join us for our first collab beer with Bronx Brewery with Collective Beer Project. So we're kicking off our first vote on Thursday. We got the link, and you can find it on my Twitter or in Pete's Discord in the club VIP channel too. There's a little post I made in response to some of our lovely community who were asking about it. Come out and phone with us. Free to sign up, free to participate. You get to vote on the four key steps of the beer making process and then have the opportunity to exclusively buy the collab beer. And we'll be excited to announce additional collab partners in the coming weeks too. So yeah, come join us. We're gonna have fun.
Nice.
Anything else for you, Auntie? Bros.
Yeah. Just saying, you crypto bros, try out IKB. I think, we have this blast gold that we're giving away. And I think it's like kind of the secret of the crypto space in a lot of ways. It is very lucrative to play on IKB right now. Like I think it's impossible to lose money currently with how much blast gold we are giving away.
There you go.
And so, yeah, I would say give it a shot. We're hopefully this week going to be adding alternate lines, kind of like how DraftKings has like the like X plus lines for different things. Our data provider should be hopefully adding that. So pretty excited. One of these days when we're not horribly bleeding money in the crypto markets, maybe we can do a state of the market at some point.
Yeah. But
for now, it's just for down sure. only.
For me, I got two slightly different schedule things for tomorrow. ADP chasing is returning on the Ship Chasing channel. Pat is still on paternity leave, but Gretch and I are going to hop on with Sam and Davis, kind of do a final pre-NFL draft risers and fallers. That'll be 11 a.m. On Ship Chasing. And then with the Badge Bros, we're having DJ on to talk some NFL play or NFL NHL puck stuff on Underdog. And so I did a show with DJ last year, very similar like concepts to this playoff best ball stuff, just even more names that I don't recognize. But if you get the playoff best ball pill, check us out tomorrow. That'll be noon on the Badge Bros channel talking puck. So yeah, we are in the heart of drafting season. Love it. Thank you guys for hanging out in the chat. Thanks again to Eric. We'll see you guys next time on the club.